What do you think of what we talk about here on Travel with Rick Steves? Does it inspire memories from your own travels? Or do you make plans to visit places we talk about? Let's check in right now with some of our traveling listeners who've emailed us about what they've heard on the show in recent months. Our email address is radio@ricksteves.com, and our phone number, that's 877-333-RICK. Brad from Woodinville, Washington, heard us interview a little while ago the author and Tuscan winemaker Ference Maté when the subject of relying too much on modern technology in our travels came up. Ference and I weren't too thrilled with relying on GPS on a smartphone to get around in unfamiliar places, and Brad has a different take on that. Brad, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Rick. It's an honor to talk to you.
Thank you. Yeah, how do you approach GPS and so on?
Well, first let me stipulate that my wife would be the first one to tell you that we're all too connected when we get out on the road, and I'm probably very guilty of that. But one of the compromises we've had, and I've found it to be a terrific souvenir and memento of trips, is that I use the GPS on my smartphone to record where it is we've been on, say, driving trips. We took a long driving trip from Stuttgart through northwestern Germany and into Flanders and Normandy and ended up in Paris. And I used the GPS on my smartphone just to record where we had been, and then I download all of those files that the GPS records into Google Earth. And it gives me a great souvenir of just seeing exactly where we've been and all the sights we've seen, and it's a great reminder of the trip.
Now, that is great. Now, that assumes you've got a smartphone that's unlocked and roaming around Europe. Is that right?
Actually, the unlocked isn't important because the GPS operates autonomously of the cell network. Hmm. So, in fact, I bought a SIM card in Germany, but it didn't work in Belgium and France. I didn't have to have a data plan. I didn't have to have a carrier. I just used a free app from I have an Android phone, so I used a free app from Google called My Tracks. Hmm. That works as simply as, you know, starting up the app, hitting the record button, and setting the phone on the dash of the car and letting it record.
Does the phone you just have it intermittently on and it still works?
Actually, the app leaves the GPS on and just runs continuously.
That is incredible. My Tracks, that's a free app.
Yep.
And you can use Android or an iPhone.
There are lots of apps like that iPhone, for any. I started doing this years ago on a Palm Pilot.
Right.
So, you know, it's been around forever.
Because I'm still getting up to speed on all of this. But I do know, now that you mention it, that even if I'm not roaming or using my iPhone over there for how I would use it here in the United States, the Google Map function will work, and I can actually turn it on in the morning and get onto Google Maps, then get offline. And the Google Maps is still there, and I've got everything I need for my day's navigating.
Right. And now with this particular app that I'm using, you don't have the maps. It's just recording the GPS location.
Right.
But it downloads into Google Earth or Google Maps.
Great
or
souvenir.
Any number of mapping programs.
So if your parents want to know where you're going every minute on your European vacation,
exactly.
You can say, well, I'll just have My Tracks, and you can have the whole list, Mom and Dad.
Exactly. And then you can print out postcards.
I love it. Hey, well, thank you so much, Brad. And I think in the future, everybody will be that wired. But right now, it's fun new toys for us traveling the world.
Exactly.
All right. So it's My Tracks, and we can get a whole GPS rundown of everywhere we went on our trip anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world.
All right. Happy travels.
Thank you, Rick.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Eric in Urbana, Illinois, sent us this email. I heard your show a while back about viewing art in Europe outside the museums, and I was reminded of a powerful experience I had. In the main cemetery in Turku, Finland, there's a section devoted to the men and even the boys, the age range is about 15 to 50, who died resisting the Russian invasion at the start of World War II. The major monument is not military symbolism, but instead, it's a black marble figure of a grieving woman. Seeing it was one of the deepest emotional experiences I've ever had with any work of art. Wow. So the cemetery in Turku, in the west end of Finland, a memorial for the men who died resisting the Russian invasion back in World War II. Thanks, Eric from Urbana. And Ginny in Henrietta, Oklahoma, emailed us to tell us about a trip she took to Poland. Ginny writes this. After graduating from college a couple years ago, one of my girlfriends and I went to Poland for 2 weeks. Our friends thought we were crazy because who goes to Poland? Well, I was curious about the place, and it's one of the few spots in Europe that's affordable, even a bargain. We had such a fun time. The young people there were very friendly and loved chatting with Americans. Once again, this is unusual for Europe. Warsaw was one of our favorites, particularly the gardens. Gdansk was great, too. Also, the medieval forest near Belarus was a treat. Amazing food as well. I encourage all to visit Poland. And that's Ginny from the Polish Tourist Board. We're reviewing some of our favorite emails that have been sent to radio@ricksteves.com. We're seeing what you, our listeners, have to say. By phone, we're at 877-333-7425. You can also post a comment about what you hear on Travel with Rick Steves in our radio message board. It's one of the features you'll find in the radio section of ricksteves.com. Elena in Mount Vernon, Washington, writes us about her travels to the far south of Italy. She wrote after hearing us talk about the region a little while ago on Travel with Rick Steves. Elena writes, "My family is from Calabria, and I've been back twice to visit in the past 10 years. It's absolutely beautiful, relatively inexpensive, and the people are so warm and friendly. You can find beaches as well as mountains and wonderful cultural sites such as ethnic Albanian villages. It can be a bit of work to communicate if you don't speak Italian, and getting around can be challenging with very windy, mountainous roads in the interior and limited public transportation options. But when it comes to Calabria, vale la pena, as the locals would say. That's, it's worth the trouble. Your show just reminded me that I need to plan another trip to Calabria. Ciao." I like that, vale la pena. It's worth the trouble. Boy, if you have a land where that's one of the key phrases, there must be a little bit of complexity, but hey, that's what keeps away the tourist crowds, and that's what opens up all the travel magic. Elena from Mount Vernon, thanks for emailing us, and anybody can share their travel tips, their insights, their best experiences. Just send us an email at radio@ricksteves.com. Martha in Ames, Iowa emailed us, and she shares a snapshot of her trip to Sicily. Martha writes, "My memories of a trip to Sicily a few years ago center around the completely crazy drivers on the road and trash everywhere in the road. You called it controlled chaos. I'd call it complete chaos. Of course, the food was fabulous, and likewise the scenery, but the chaos and the trash everywhere, that was overwhelming." Martha, thanks for the candid insight to traveling in Sicily. Yeah, if you're looking for tidiness, I'd recommend from Italy going north instead of south. When you go north, you'll find things in order, you'll find the streets clean, and you'll find everything punctual. But when you go farther south, you get chaos, and chaos translates into calories, memories, and new friends. Think about traveling south and try to look at the people rather than the garbage below their feet. And for more on Sicily, Maggie's on the phone from Edmonds, Washington, and her grandfather emigrated from Sicily. Maggie contacted us to tell us how some segments of our Southern Italy show reminded her of her trip there. Maggie, thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, so tell us about your take on Sicily. That's where your family's from, eh?
My grandfather, yes, he came over in the early 1900s with $10 in his pocket, and he was from a little town about an hour southwest of Palermo called Vita. And a couple years ago, I found the last Fimia in Vita, wrote to her, she wrote back, and we were able to visit her in 2008.
Wow,
and
now
then
Fimia
again in
would,
2009.
That's your family name, Fimia?
Fimia, correct.
Yeah, so you visited a distant relative, and what was that like? Because you didn't know her before, you were just sort of introducing yourself to her, huh?
Correct. We rented the car, my husband and I, in Palermo, and drove down there and found it. It's a little town that was, half of it was destroyed by an earthquake in the 60s. But this is where my people came from, and I felt like I was home. It was an amazing experience.
And she didn't know you from Adam.
She didn't know us from Adam, but she had gotten this letter,
wow.
And she welcomed us with open arms.
And your family name is Fimia, Fimia?
Fimia.
Fimia. So any of us could go to Vita, V-I-T-A, and say we're Fimia. Friends of Maggie, and we could meet your relatives, and they would welcome us.
Well, chances are you have some Sicilian in your background.
Okay,
if
good.
Look
no,
far enough.
I joke, but I always did the same thing with my relatives up in Scandinavia, and it occurred
right.
to me I could get out a phone book anywhere in Norway and just call somebody up and
right.
say, you know, I'm Rick, whose relatives came from here, and let's get together. And people.
That's exactly right. I've done it in Ireland. I actually
yeah,
did that same thing in Ireland where I pulled out the phone book and started calling Magners and McGrath. Bill Magner was the first one. He said, ah, you're not the right data. You got to come down about 30 miles. And we did.
Uh-huh.
I've been back 9 times. So, you know,
you could learn more about your own family tree by calling strangers with the same last name
right.
in Ireland, because they all know how they're connected better than we do.
That's right. So it was an amazing experience. It's wonderful to experience the culture with someone who lives there. And this town is close to a lot of things. One thing I was struck by Sicily, and especially looking back, I've been there twice now, is it's smaller than Connecticut.
Hmm.
It's a little bit smaller than the state of Connecticut. But it's like going to the world, because it was such a crossroads there, and still is.
You know, that's so true, because so many different colonial powers came through and took over Sicily. You've got layer after layer after
right.
layer, don't you?
Right, going back to the Phoenicians, the Greeks, Carthage, Romans. And so all that architecture's there, all that art is there, and music and the food. It's worth going to Sicily just to have lunch and experience the rice balls, the fried rice balls.
Oh, yeah, you gotta bone up on the cuisine a little bit so you know what to order, and then go to a town that's got no tourism. I would imagine a place like Vitar. There's probably 100 little towns like that.
There's 100, and Sciacca's another little one that we were struck with. My daughter and I ended up there. We just kind of went where the wind blew us and ended up in a little town called Sciacca, which is on the coast. It's a major fishing port. I don't eat fish, but my daughter does, and we tried to find something that was a little out of the way that had a view. There was a sign out front that said, 14 lira, 20 lira for lunch.
Yeah.
No menu, and you walked in.
Oh, I love it.
And they served her 6 or 7 courses of the catch of the day. She started to cry around the 4th or 5th because she couldn't. And I just kept pouring her glasses of wine, and she did fine. So,
you know, that distinguishes travelers from just less industrious tourists. I mean, to go to the far reaches, to find a local relative, to eat in a little restaurant that doesn't have an English menu. And it's not only richer and more real, it's cheaper, isn't it?
It's cheaper, and I'll remember that meal with her forever.
So you got 14 euros for your meal. You're staying free with Auntie Vimeo.
Rosa. The first time we stayed with Rosa, was my husband and me, for about 3 or 4 days, she did not want us to leave her site.
I love it.
Which was kind of, that was, so plan a lot of time if you go visit
Well, relatives. That's a good point. When you're staying with relatives, you don't want to just use them as a sofa to crash on, but you want to spend some time. I would say it's fair to say that wherever your heritage is, wherever your distant ancestors are from, you can go there, and if you can look up some people who are related, it's going to be a blessing for everybody involved.
Yes, they love, it's like they're waiting for you to come back. I even found a relative I had no idea existed, and he had a stack of letters, this is in Ireland, stack of letters from my great-aunts and uncles to his mother, because they were first cousins, answered all sorts of questions in these letters that I had been wondering about.
Visiting relatives in Norway, I was very stressed out about how would I have an appetite enough at the next meal to eat more. Because they took me from one relative to the next, and they show their love by feeding you.
Right.
And it was literally stressful to know that I have to eat more in
eat
2 hours.
Eat more, manja.
But, you know, I think a lot of Americans, who we're so sensitive and polite, we would be worried about putting them out. And I would say the irony is, you are being impolite if you don't look them up, if you have the opportunity, because you're going to brighten their lives. It's just a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. So,
it is.
Maggie,
and
thanks so much. That's
you,
great.
Thank you, Rick.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We're letting our listeners be our guest right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Write us with your travel stories and impressions at radio@ricksteves.com. In our recent interview with Calvin Alexander Ramsey, we had several comments, and Ramsey spoke to us about the Green Book. That was the guidebook for African-American road trippers back in the Jim Crow era. Neil from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, sent us this email after hearing the show. I was mowing the lawn today and listening to the show about African-Americans traveling in the American South with the Green Book, and I found it to be interesting, informative, as well as appalling. You did a nice job of providing some insight into what we'd call an unfortunate chapter, to say the least, in American history. Keep up the good work. Yeah, that was fascinating to think about. Black Americans couldn't travel without a listing of places that would let them know where they could stop for the night or get a meal or fill up the tank. And Kathy in Oxford, Ohio, recently wrote us this email. A few weeks ago, I was a caller on Open Phones with Rick, and the caller before me was talking about visiting Tuscany. She asked Rick for any suggestions on a novel to read about Tuscany before she visited there, and I want to suggest the book The House of the Wind by Titania Hardy. It's a great historical novel following the story of peoples living in Santo Pietro during the Middle Ages and then living in the same town in 2007. It tells quite a bit about the Etruscan history of the area and about Volterra. It talks about the Valley of Serenity and San Galgano. And it follows two great love stories as well. I highly recommend this book for anybody visiting Tuscany, The House of the Wind. Sounds good. Not long ago, Italian tour guide Alfio De Moro explained the proper way to eat pasta on our show, and tongue firmly planted in his cheek, he explained the strict rules to avoid committing what he called a culinary crime.
You know, there are rules about spaghetti, you know. As a kid, I was watching my mom preparing the spaghetti, and my mom never even thought of breaking the spaghetti before dipping them in the boiling water. So you have to eat it without breaking it. You don't want smaller pieces, okay?
Well, Kathleen in Fresno, California, heard our conversation, and she calls us now to share this confession. Kathleen, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Rick. So, yes, I have to confess, like they talked about on the show, I am a spaghetti killer.
Oh, no.
And in my... It's not just spaghetti killing at my house. It's more of a massacre. He had recommended that you never break your pasta when you put it in the water. You just leave it whole noodles, but... I always break up the pasta, maybe because I always have small pans. And then not only do I break up the pasta when I cook it, but when it gets on my plate, then I slice it up with a fork and knife so I can eat it with a spoon and not have to worry about the mess.
Oh, my goodness. So first of all, it's a mass massacre. You break up all the little pieces of spaghetti and you pour them into the water.
Yes, I do.
Okay. And then you cut them up so they can fit on a spoon.
Yes.
I can just hear Alfio just saying, oh, they've got a phrase, I forget the Italian, but they say, I throw down my arms. They're so amazed and frustrated. I throw down my arms. Well, next time you make spaghetti, what are you going to do?
Well, actually, I was making a big pot of spaghetti sauce last night, and I didn't have any spaghetti, so I couldn't just say, okay, I'm going to call Rick Steves and talk about my spaghetti making, you know, prowess here. And so, but I had rigatoni. So
okay.
No need to break up the rigatoni or cut it up into smaller bites because it just fits on my spoon.
Well, I'm going to tell Alfio De Moro in Italy that Kathleen in Fresno is going to stop breaking her spaghetti before she tosses it into the water, okay?
I promise.
Okay. Thank you for your confession. Okay. You're forgiven.
Thank you, Rick.
Happy travels.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Wilner at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington. Thanks for website help to Andrew Wakeling and Kate Mulhern-Graham. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. You can add your comments or travel reports to our online feedback forum. It's part of the extras you'll find each week in the radio section of our website, ricksteves.com. And we'll see you again next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.
Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. The European Union received the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize for promoting peace, human rights, and democracy. Information available at euintheus.org.